Welcome to the Junk Refund Show, hosted by Alan J. Cook, founder of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Have you ever paid those expensive junk removal companies to take away some of your stuff, only to say to yourself, as a truck drives off down the street, some of that stuff wasn't junk? Did they try to sell it for you and give you some money back? No. Well, now there is a company that can do just that. Listen to our weekly Junk Refund Show on BBS Radio TV to learn how one lady spent $375 on junk removal and got $3,200 back. 1-800-JUNK-REFUND represents the next generation of junk removal. Learn how to not only save your money on junk removal, but how to get some money coming back. Plus, purchase one of our radio vouchers during the show to save even more on your junk removal. Let's get the junk out of your home and out of your life. Now, with your host, Alan J. Cook.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to my favorite time of the week, Thursdays at 3 o'clock Eastern, where we get to do the Junk Refund Show, coming to you live from Muncaster Mill Road in Durwood, Maryland. And we have had a fun day with a few little hiccups, one little hiccup, actually, I'm going to tell you about in just a second. 1-800-JUNK-REFUND is a junk removal business in the Rockville, Maryland area. We service the entire country. We have 63 affiliates around the country. Our most recent one came on board yesterday down in West Palm Beach, Florida, called All Out Junk Removal. A young lady named Jennifer. We referred her to a customer down on the east coast of Florida, just north of Fort Lauderdale yesterday, to do a small job. And we really appreciate these affiliates who come on board from around the country. They do kind of the smaller jobs for us in these different areas. We go around the country personally from Washington to do house cleanouts and some of the bigger jobs, and it's a blast to do that. We fly cheap on Frontier Airlines because we have the Go Wild Pass. I can fly anywhere in the United States for about $30, assuming that their Go Wild flight seats are available on whatever flight I want to take. They are available probably 90% of the time. I've done this for 3 years. It's a great thing if you want to check it out. They've got a special deal going right now for the summer, where for $199, you can get about 3 or 4 months of travel. And you can see it on flyfrontier.com, and it's a great deal. I paid $600 to get a yearly pass. Then they allowed us to renew it about three quarters of the way through the year for $299. So I've done it for half price the last couple of years, and it's a great deal. But because we can fly around the country for only $30, we don't charge people for travel. And because I get lots of points at the Wyndham Hotel chain, I'm one of their Diamond members. I stay at hotels for free, usually La Quinta, if I can find one in the area. So we can compete with any junk removal company around the country. All we have to do is rent a pickup truck or a steak body truck. We use enterprise trucks around the country when we need to rent trucks. And it's a great thing. So anyway, we are able to do that, and hats off to All Out Junk Removal in West Palm Beach, who just joined us yesterday as our 63rd affiliate around the country. One of the keys to doing a successful radio show, if I can be so bold as to say that this is a successful one, is to talk about stuff that you have a passion for. And right now, my passion is for something that happened about 15 minutes ago. We got a call about 3 hours ago from a realtor named Karen Rawlings, who is a fabulous realtor with EXP Realty in Olney, Maryland. That's O-L-N-E-Y. If you're in the Washington, D.C. metro area, you might want to look Karen up and give her a call if you have any questions about real estate. She's a gem of a person. and a gem of a realtor. She had a home that we cleaned out the shed a couple of weeks ago for the owner who had put the home up for sale, and all they needed was the shed cleaned out, so we did that. But we got a call this morning that the furniture that was put in the home to stage the home by the stager needed to be removed today. And it just turns out we had time to do that today. So we dashed down and did that for Karen the last couple of hours. We literally got there when the moving people who were moving the new young tenant into the property showed up. We got there at just the same time, and it worked out beautifully. As they're hauling stuff in, we're hauling stuff out. The problem is, where do you put the furniture? The stager had some kind of medical problem, apparently a fairly serious one, come up, and they didn't get their stuff out of the house in time. So Karen, being a proactive realtor, called us and said, we got to get this stuff out of the house so the new folks can move their stuff in, and they're moving it in, you know, today. So we dashed down, loaded up about a truckload of stuff, normally about a $750 job. Karen gets 20% off because she's just a good person. And so it's about a $600 job. And we took it over to her real estate office in Olney, and she said, just put it in the back of the office in the parking lot. So we did. And God hopes, you know, it doesn't rain, right? But anyway, a couch and some other stuff there, and just, a, you know, stuff from that was hanging on the walls and furniture and a kitchen table and stuff like that. So there's a bunch of stuff right now sitting in the parking lot. Thank heavens we got it out in time. The new tenant was thrilled. And as we were hauling it out, his moving company was hauling stuff in. I do have to tell you about something I saw today, though, that was, in 20 years of doing this, I've never seen anything like this. One of the things we had to haul out was the full-sized bed, maybe even a queen-sized bed, that was upstairs in the master bedroom. It had quilts on it and, you know, a couple of pillows. So as we go up, we verified, you know, that bed goes, right? And they said, yeah, that bed goes. My buddy starts pulling the bedding and the sheets off of the bed and finds out that there's no mattress. It's all a bunch of fake, it's a fake bed. It's sitting on top of about a dozen medium to large size boxes like what you'd get at Home Depot. And the boxes were standing on their ends and then just covered with quilts and pillows. And it looked like a legitimate bed, but it wasn't. And so we just were able to go in, take the quilts off, undo the boxes. They were not taped shut or anything, but literally there was no bed frame. There were no mattresses. There were a bunch of, I'm just going to call them large size Home Depot type boxes, folded together, about a dozen of them, put on their ends. It's the exact height of a bed, and then they just threw some quilts over it. And I went, what a brilliant idea to produce a bed. You know, I've never seen that before. So it was easy to take apart because, you know, the boxes are a piece of cake. You just undo those and fold them up. They come out easily. You take the bed sheets off and throw them in a bag, and whammo, you've got it. So anyway, that's the lead-in to the first important story. We get the stuff over to Karen's office. We're out there in the back unloading it in the very corner of her parking lot, so it's out of the way. And yours truly is up in the truck, bringing the stuff from the truck, because I kind of packed it in while my buddy June brought most of the stuff out from the house. I know where the stuff is and where I've laid it in the truck. Not everything in the truck goes. So I'm bringing it from the front of the truck to the back of the truck. June, my buddy, then takes it off the truck and puts it in the parking lot. Well, all is well, except what we're using is a 16-foot stake body truck. A stake body truck is a truck that has four sections, like a fence almost, four sections going down each side of the truck and two sections put on the back of the truck. These are just sitting in holes cut in the truck frame, so you can just pop these out you know, whenever you need to do that, you need to get to one part of the truck, you can just pop these out, and they are connected together, kind of linked together, so that they're not loosely sitting in the truck. Well, to unload the truck, when you start, take off the two in the back, because you're going to unload stuff off the back. Sometimes we'll take those and we'll set them down on the ground. I've learned that that's a really good idea. That's what June did with one of them. The other one, I was already up in the truck. I just pulled it up, pulled it out of the frame, and set it in the truck on the back corner right next to the other one that is kind of at least permanently sitting and attached on the outside of the frame. So we've got two sections of 4 foot fencing, if you will, framing from this truck standing up next to each other in the very back corner of the truck. That's critical to understand. Then we take a couch off the truck. We get it most of the way off. I now need to get down off the back of the truck to help with the couch. So on the side of the truck in the very back is a metal step that's about 2 feet off the ground and about halfway up to what I think is a 4 or 4.5 foot high bed of the truck. I'm standing up on the bed of the truck. I kind of turn around a little bit to kind of lower myself over the side so my left foot can go in on the metal step on the very back side of the truck in the corner of the truck. Does that make sense? So all is fine, except yours truly forgets that the inside section of the truck in the back is not attached to anything. It's loose. So I take two hands, without thinking, I grab the top back part of that, and then I step off the truck. Well, next thing I know, I'm on the ground. Thank heavens I didn't bust a hip or a leg or break an ankle or elbow. I can't tell you for sure what happened in sequence there, because it happened so quick. All I know is I'm suddenly on my back. I have fallen 4 or 5 feet. I scraped my right elbow. I must have landed on my right elbow and took about a half dollar sized scrape out of that elbow. So I got a little bit of blood there. My head did not hit the ground, thank heavens. My hat came off. I did not do any damage to my hips or my legs. When I stood up, I put my weight on my right foot, and it was very tender, the right ankle. I've played a lot of sports in my life, but I've never twisted an ankle. I've never had an ankle sprain. I've never broken an ankle. I think what I did was sprain the ankle, and I can't tell you for sure how I did it. I wish I had a video. I think what happened is when I grabbed onto the loose panel in the truck, which immediately gave way and gave me no support, I think what happened is that my weight was on my right foot on the very back corner of the truck. My left foot had gone off over the edge of the truck on purpose. And at that point, my body just falls back and my right foot is still jammed kind of up on the top of the ledge there. I don't know for sure if that's what happened. It just happens too quick, so you don't really know. All you know is you're suddenly on the ground, and if your head would have hit the asphalt, you could have been knocked out. You could have been killed. You could have broken a hip. You could have broken a leg, an elbow. I mean, I have a sister who fell off a garbage can twice when she was like 10 and broke an arm both times, right? I mean, I'm falling off, you know, 2 or 3 times higher than a garbage can, and I'm 67, and I come down, and I am just lucky as can be that I'm, you know, moving on with work right now, doing a radio show, whatever. I could be on my way to the hospital in an ambulance. Anyway, I've learned my lesson not to put those gates loosely in the back of the truck, because I'm going to forget that it's loose, and I'm going to try to get down off the truck again, and yours truly is going to do the same thing I did to myself about 20 minutes ago, fall on my butt. But I got to tell you, thank God that I'm not on my way to a hospital. I'm doing a radio show, and I'm back in the truck, and I'm driving around, you know, using my right ankle and foot to put the gas pedal down and hit the brakes and whatever. And I'm not in pain. It's a little bit uncomfortable, but it's not hurting. I can move it around. I think I just probably gave it a good strain. And boy, was I mad when I hit the ground, though. You know, I've fallen many, many times, and I probably should have been injured a lot more than I've been. I've never broken anything. All the times I've fallen off the truck in the back when I'm at the dump or at somebody's house, or, you know, you're getting in and out of a truck a lot, sometimes you're going to fall. And regardless of how careful you are, but this is not the first time that I have put the loose gate in the very back corner on the inside of the truck and then unintentionally grabbed it to try to support me and give you something to hold on to while you lower yourself over the edge of the truck. I'm here to tell you that sucker won't support you unless it's wedged down in the truck and connected to the piece next to it, which this one is not. It's just sitting there loose. It's like grabbing a broom handle and trying to expect it to hold, give you some support while you lower yourself over the side of a truck. It's not going to work. But it all ended well. The client was very happy. The realtor is very happy. We got the job done pronto. We started it about 2 hours after we got the phone call to do it. And with the exception of a somewhat bloody right elbow and a right ankle that's just kind of a little bit strained right now, we move on to, you know, do the radio show and do whatever comes next. So anyway, that's my life in the last half hour. I don't recommend it, by the way. If you're going to lower yourself off of the back of a truck, and the irony is we have a hydraulic lift on the back of the truck, but we didn't use it at this point. We could have. And when you do that, you just, you know, push the button and it slowly lowers you down and it's, you know, safe. We didn't do that this time. And I tried to lower myself over the edge of the truck and I fell off the cliff. You know, and it's funny when you're the guy falling, it's kind of funny how fast it happens and how you can't tell somebody afterwards exactly what happened. All you can do is just feel yourself and go, oh, let's see, my elbow hurts. And oh, there's a little bit of blood there. And when you stand up and you put your weight on your right leg, you go, oh, crap. I can't quite put all my weight on that leg. That's what it was like at first. It might get worse tonight. I don't know. I have a date at 7 o'clock tonight down at Ford's Theater that I'm very excited about. So we'll see how hopefully I'll be all right and I can walk around. I won't know for another, I don't know, 30 minutes or something. We'll see. I may even just get out and walk around in the shade while I do the show and see how my foot feels. That might be a good idea. But I'm here parked not far from the rental truck place, because I need to go just renew the contract for another month for the rental truck. And I'm parked in a Wendy's parking lot, and I'm telling you, I'm going to get a chocolate frosty before this day's over. So we're going to take a break here for about a minute. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show on the BBS Radio Network. I'm your host, Alan Cook. With the exception of a bruised right elbow and a tender right ankle, I am feeling great. We'll be back in just a minute for more of the Junk Refund Show.
All right, the commercial's
not me too. I know. I don't know how, you know, I'm going to take a tape measure and see if this sucker's 5 feet off the ground. I don't know how far it is. 4 to 5 feet, something like that. I literally failed right off the back, backwards off a truck onto asphalt 30 minutes ago. I know. You would think you would hit your head and be unconscious or something, right? I'm lucky the gate piece didn't fall off. I think it fell off with me, but I'm lucky it didn't land on top of me and cut me to smithereens, you know? Yeah, yeah. So anyway, that's what's happened in the last half hour. I know, it's crazy. But I'm still on schedule to do everything I need to do today. So Something. I'm doing something. Yeah, I'm doing something right. Yeah. Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show. I'm your host, Alan Cook. If you listen to the first segment of this show, you'll know that I'm kind of limping around a little bit from a fall that I literally just took about 30 minutes ago. I fell off the back of the truck, and I have nobody to blame but myself. And but I'm okay. Nothing's broken. I'm not on my way to the hospital. I'm sitting here in a Wendy's parking lot, salivating over a chocolate frosty, which I'm going to get in about 40 minutes when I'm done with the show, and maybe asking for a cup of ice to put on my right ankle, which is a little sore right now. I just fell about 4 to 5 feet off the back of a truck, literally fell falling backwards. I didn't land on my feet, I don't think. I think I landed, but amazingly, my hip's not busted or something. I landed on a right elbow, and my right foot is a little sore on the ankle area. And I literally can't tell you how I landed. I just know that my head snapped when I landed, but it didn't hit the ground, thank God. And my baseball cap came off. So there you go. Hey, but I've got some fun stuff to tell you. We always have really fun stories here. One of them I'm going to tell you about happened on Monday, and this is why. And I put this post on Facebook. And you can go look at Facebook at Alan Cook, and there's a J, initial J, ALANJ period Cook. You can go check this out and see the post. It's worth doing that, by the way. We have had an 80-year-old couple that lived in Potomac, Maryland, in a very nice home for about 40 years. And they decided to move out to San Diego to live with their son, who is a former FBI guru, let's just put it that way. And it was our job to clean out the house. So we did. And in the front room of this house was an 11 by 14 hand-woven Persian rug that is beautiful. You know, the kind of the maroon and the blue and the yellow and the white and a little bit of green and some reds, you know, that kind of stuff. It's just a beautiful rug. When we rolled it up, they decided not to take the rug with them to San Diego. And we're a company that doesn't just take the rug and go throw it in the dump and then go do the next job. That's what a lot of other companies do. We don't do that. So we took some photos of it. We put it up for sale on Facebook Marketplace for $1,000. There is a sticker on the rug that we noticed when we rolled it up that says $3,250. I believe that's the original price that these folks paid for the rug. You'll notice over years of wear and tear that on one end of the rug, there are some of the tassels that stick out on the end that had worn off. About a foot to 2 foot wide section had kind of worn down a little bit, so the tassels weren't really there. These folks never had any pets and they didn't smoke. There are no stains on the rug anywhere. We can tell when we roll it up if there's a stain. It's stain free. It's just been worn for a while. So a $3,200 rug isn't going to sell for $3,200 when one end of it is kind of beaten up a little bit. So we listed it for $1,000. No takers. We dropped the price to $500. Got a lady in Charlestown, West Virginia, which is about an hour away from us, who really liked the rug and offered us $350 because she was going to have to drive an hour each way to come and pick it up. I said, you know, once I checked and said, oh, you know, you guys are like 54 minutes away. If you just do the $500, we'll just deliver it for free. Well, she jumped on that and went ahead and bought the rug. She paid us $250 in advance and then the rest would get paid when we delivered the rug. So I said, okay, great. Well, we load this rug up. We had put it, by the way, in the meantime, in our storage unit and basically rolled it out. And then we had set some furniture and some other stuff on it. So we classed up our storage unit by putting the rug down. We thought that was kind of cool. Now we had to go in and pull all the furniture out so we could get to the rug again, roll it back up, put it in the truck, and drive it to Charlestown, West Virginia. But we did. So when we get to Charlestown, West Virginia, to the address, we pull into this house that is literally like a George Washington styled Mount Vernon kind of mansion. The pillars, the four pillars in the front of this home, are the largest pillars that I've seen on a home. We're not talking a foot wide. We're talking maybe 3 feet wide. I mean, beautiful. It's a yellow home, massive home. Found out it's an 8,000 square foot home, and it sits on 100 acres of land. And the guy that owns it is a young guy. And when I say young, I'm saying probably in his 40s. His name's Lane. And he grew up in that area and had his eye on this home. It was in foreclosure for 14 years. He told himself, one of these days I'm going to own that home. It's a modern day notebook, the movie Notebook type story, where he finds this old home and he loves it and he wants to fix it up. And it was trashed when he got a hold of it, and now it looks like $1 million. And I'm sure it's worth a lot more than $1 million. When you walk in the home, fascinating stuff. You feel like you're back in George Washington's time. I asked him about the history of the home. He said it was built in 1820 by George Washington's nephew. This nephew is the kid who inherited Mount Vernon, the plantation estate of George Washington. And he and the nephew, and apparently his cousin, I think it was, married sisters. So they built two big homes in West Virginia. The one that Lane owns, and if you look, and it's on a little bit of a hill, and if you look across from there through the trees, there's another big home, a couple thousand yards away or something. There's another big home sitting on top of this other rise in the beautiful West Virginia countryside. And that's where the other cousin built another home for the other sister, and these two homes were the summer homes of these guys who lived down in Virginia during the rest of the year, right? The other home, in fact, I told Lane as I'm standing there in front and I'm looking across through the trees at what's obviously another big home across the way. I said, "Well, tell me that Thomas Jefferson built that one over there." And he said, "No, this was, George Washington's nephew and a cousin or something built that home." The second home, the other home, for many years was the largest home in West Virginia. It is 13,000 square feet. The home that I delivered the carpet to, the rug to, was 8,000 square feet. And it's just immaculate. Well, so we drop this rug off. Lane is really happy. He shows me the family room that it's going to go in. There's lots of furniture in the family room. It looks really nice. And you almost feel like when you walk into this home, you feel like you're looking at a museum. And you want to go look at the paintings. You want to look at the, teapots in the corner on the tables and stuff. And it's just immaculately kept. He and his wife live there with a daughter, just the three of them. And it sits on 100 acres of land. He said, "I'm trying to get another 90. I'm trying to buy another 90." He says, "I farm this, plus I do, a bunch of other stuff." He's just a fascinating guy, and he's from that area. So I was just intrigued by where we had now delivered this rug to. He was thrilled. He paid me the other 250, and we hopped in the truck and drove away. About as we were pulling out of the long driveway, his wife pulls in an SUV, and we just wave at each other and then pass each other. And about 30 minutes later, I get a photo, which is on my Facebook page, and a text message, which is also on my Facebook page, from her. And her text message says, "I'm so happy, 3 exclamation points. Tomorrow is my birthday, and this rug is a gift, is my birthday present from Lane, exclamation point. Thank you so much for delivering it. It's a perfect birthday present." Now, how's that for cool? And I took a picture of that message and posted it on Facebook because it is such a great message. And it's just a message that I love. So the other thing that's cool is that the 80-year-old folks out in San Diego now get 35% of the sale of the rug, which at a $500 price is about $175. They're thrilled. And they made money on the deal. The people who bought the rug are thrilled. They got a good deal. And bless Lane's heart, the photo that his wife included with her nice message shows the room with the rug already laid out on the floor and the furniture on top of it. Lane just hopped right on it, cleared the room with the furniture. We didn't help at all. He didn't ask us to help at all. We just dropped the rug off. cleared it out, laid down the new rug, put the furniture back in, and whammo, it's all done, and his wife is on cloud nine. Now, a lesson to you husbands out there and you boyfriends out there, if you want your girlfriend or your wife to be really happy with you, you need to focus on what she really wants for her birthday or for Christmas or for whatever. It's probably much different than what you would want. But if you pay attention to what she says, how she acts, what she talks about, etc., you too will get a clue on what you can give as a Lane type gift. This was a brilliant move on his part, and to have your wife telling a couple of junk removal guys who just delivered a rug to her that she is so happy, that's what life is all about. And Lane was smart enough to realize that's what she wants for her birthday. Everybody wins in this scenario. And you can check the story out, and you can see the photos on my Facebook page, Alan Cook, Alan J. Cook, and you'll see the whole story there, plus the note that she sent us. So that is one of our latest success stories on why we do what we do and why we're so proud of it. Another thing that we had success with, and we just finished clearing out a home for a lady in Olney, Maryland, referred to us by Karen Rawlings, who went through a divorce after being married for many decades. It was a three-year battle type of divorce. It was not a friendly thing, apparently. And she now has to move out, or has decided to move out of a nice, large home that is furnished very, very well. And most of that stuff she can't take with her. She's downsizing now. So in that room, in that house upstairs, there was a room with a couple of pink mattresses in it. It was a bedroom set. And it turns out that the cabinets, the dressers, were made in Italy. They had kind of a formica covering over them, but it made it look like it was marble. And it says made in Italy on the back. And this lady had chosen not to buy any knobs for this set. So all of the drawers in two nightstands and a long horizontal dresser did not have any knobs on them, but it was also not used much at all. It was kind of a guest room. The two pink mattresses in the state of Maryland, you can't sell a used mattress, so we couldn't include that. It was a part of the picture that we posted on Marketplace, but we just put this bedroom set up for sale, and I think we put it up for sale for like $600 because it doesn't have knobs, and it doesn't include the mattresses. And we didn't really, we got a few people asking about it, but then we decided to just cut it in half and sell it for $300. And this wonderful lady named Julia, Latino lady, saw it and said, yeah, I want to do that. Well, we had hauled it out of the room. We had put it in a storage facility on Goody Drive where they give you the first month free for like $46, which is the insurance cost and I don't know what else cost, taxes and whatever. For $46, we rented for the first month a $280 unit that is a 10 by 20 unit and just filled it up with the furniture from this lady's house. And the goal is to get that furniture sold in the next 30 days and then either keep the unit because this is a good price for that size unit or bag it and turn it back in, and it only cost me $40. So anyway, we took it over there. Then this lady says, hey, I want that bedroom set. We loaded it up. We delivered it to her for free. And it worked out great. We took it down to her. She was very excited about it. She knew that it needed to, she needed to get knobs for it. It was just terrific. One mistake we made is that we forgot to take the bed frame when we took the rest of the furniture. We just forgot the bed frame. So the second day, we went back and took that back down. The reason I'm telling you this story is that we have done, I'm going to say somewhere around 150 transactions on Facebook Marketplace where people have left us ratings, and our score is 4.7 out of 5 for about 150 ratings. It might even be 170 ratings. I can't remember. But that is a 94% customer satisfaction rating on Facebook Marketplace. That's what you call really, really good.
especially for that many transactions. What's interesting, though, is that when we got there, the late they had not paid us anything. We literally delivered the furniture, loaded it up, and delivered it for free. Actually, I say delivered it for free. She asked us if there's a delivery charge. I said yes, given the mileage, 30 minutes away or something. I said yeah, $100 we'll deliver it, and so it's $400 total. Okay, so we go down and we deliver it, and we're offloading it and it's putting it in. Then her boyfriend slash husband, I'm not sure who it is, started saying, "Well, how about if we pay you 200 now and 200 when you bring the bed frame back?" And I'm kind of going, "We haven't done any dealings with you. This has all been done with Yulia, and she has been so good to work with and so straightforward that it's that frustration of dealing with people who have a built-in bias that someone else can't be trusted." I tend to, and that's very prevalent in society today, especially in the aftermarket place of, selling used furniture. There's all kinds of stories that are out there about people who say one thing and do another. It's the same thing that happens in the dating world, where you go to dating sites and people say, "I did this and I did this and I did this, and here are my photos." And you find out that the photos are 5 to 10 years old, and you find out maybe they're not quite as tall as they said, or maybe they misstated their age so they could show up. They made it younger than what it really is so they could show up in searches, and all kinds of things happen. And you can make yourself pretty much look like whatever you want to look like these days. And that's unfortunate, because in the business world, especially with these guys who are, a generation or two younger than me, they tend to assume that something bad is going to happen, and they make their decisions from that perspective. And I come from the generation that says, "I'll trust you until you give me reason not to trust you." And I have the faith that good things are going to happen, whereas a lot of people honestly believe nothing but bad things are going to happen. That's a frustrating thing for me to deal with, because there I am, having loaded up the furniture, driven it 30 minutes, unloaded the furniture into their home, and just honestly forgot the bed frame. These folks have the furniture in their home. They didn't have to come pick it up. They have paid nothing for it up to this point. I have done all the work. I have spent the money on gas. I have spent the money on my labor to help me, and I have nothing. They have the furniture, and then they want to negotiate, "Okay, we're only going to give you half now, because how do we know you're going to come back with the bed frame?" Really? Look, let's just step back and take score. You have the furniture. What do I have? I have nothing. How many times have we dealt with each other? Once. Did I show up? Yes. You have no legitimate reason to assume that I'm not going to come again. Well, other people do. And I just interrupted. I said, "Look, I'm not other people. I don't care what other people do. I'm me. And I've told you one time that I would be here, and here I am. And if I tell you that I'm coming a second time, why in the world would you think that I wouldn't show up when I showed up the first time?" Does that make sense? I wish more people saw it that way. All right. Anyway, it worked out great. Yulia is terrific. She paid me $300, and then I came back the next day with the bed frame, and she gave me the other 100. Worked out great. So everybody won. It worked out just fine. It just kind of bugs me when people assume something bad's going to happen and that they can't trust you. It's too bad, but that's kind of the world we live in a lot of respects. All right, I'm going to take another break here, and we'll be back in about a minute for the last segment of the show. You're listening to Junk Refund Show on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Alan Cook. We'll be back in about a minute. Thank you. I am going just up the street a short ways to have the Enterprise folks just rewrite the contract for another month. So you have to check in every month and, make sure the truck's okay, and they rewrite the contract. So I'm going to go do that. I'm going to talk about what I had to do to get to the point to be able to do that today, which is a real success story. Then I dash home. I'm supposed to pick up a pickup truck that I had the starter replaced, and I've got to be down at Ford's Theater in downtown D.C. at 6:30 for a date to go see the musical 1776 at Ford's Theater.
Yeah.
I know. And I think my ankle's going to be okay, but I don't know for sure. So we'll see. Thank you. So that's my, it's like run, run, run. And when I get home tonight, I'm just going to collapse in bed and thank God I made it, you know? Yep. Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show. This is Alan Cook, your host, coming to you from Rockville, Maryland, in a Wendy's parking lot where I'm going to walk in and grab a chocolate frosty here shortly to reward myself for not having died when I fell off the back of our truck about 45 minutes ago, just before I did this show. And the only damage I did was I scraped my right elbow and brought a little blood out. I literally fell off the back of a truck. I probably fell 4 to 5 vertical feet backwards off of the truck onto asphalt. And I'm here to tell you, nothing broke, except I feel like I've twisted my ankle. And I can't tell you exactly for sure how that happened. I wish I had a video of it. But that's the worst that's happened. That's what's happened in the last little while. But I do have a great story to tell you about what happened this morning, and you will never guess where it happened. Those three immortal letters, MVA, right? The Motor Vehicle Association. My birthday is next week on May 7th. You can start sending packages anytime, by the way. Gift cards, you know, whatever. Venmo, I don't care. My birthday is next week on May 7th. And I needed to renew my driver's license. Now, I think the one I have right now, I've had for 10 years. And I think that's the case. I think that's what they gave me 10 years ago. And so when I was 57, I guess, I got my last license. Now I'm 67. And so you're kind of going, all right, what do I need? What do I need to do? I have moved since my last driver's license, so I have to change the address. So I went in on the web to change the address, and the computer would not accept the new address. I had to get a letter from a property manager verifying that this was indeed my new address. Well, I called to get that yesterday. They prepared it. I picked it up this morning. So that's good. Then I also called the MVA number and said, okay, what do I need to take with me to go renew my driver's license? They said, you need a copy of your birth certificate. Well, I was born in Utah, and I just can't go get suddenly a copy of my birth certificate. I have family out there, and this was yesterday afternoon. I'm talking to them on the phone. There's no way I can have a family member run over there, get a copy of my birth certificate, and FedEx it to me so that I get it before my 8:45 a.m. appointment. So that was doubtful. They also said, you need a copy of your Social Security card. I don't have my Social Security card with me. I can't even tell you where it is or where it was. And I called the Social Security Administration, and they said, oh, yeah, you can go online and take care of that online. So I did, like, late last night, I'm online thinking, oh, this is no problem. I can just get it. Wrong. When you go in there and try to give them all the information for what you need, they can do it and send you a new card, but you don't get it for, like, 10 days. And if you want to go get it personally, you can go set up an appointment, and those appointments are booked out 45 days. I know, because I tried 3 or 4 different Social Security Administration offices closest to me, and the earliest I could get into one of them was June 10th. Well, that doesn't work. So the lady said, if you don't have your birth certificate and if you don't have your Social Security card, you can go in there with a bank statement showing your new address, but we need the most current bank statements from, like, a credit card company and from your bank where you do your banking. Well, I do online banking, so I'm on the web early this morning looking at the bank, seeing how I could print out one of my statements. Well, so far, yours truly hasn't figured out how to do that. But I did get an offer to buy whole life insurance from the same bank, And that envelope was sitting there, and I went, well, I'll take that with me. Maybe that will suffice because it has the right address on it. I did have a copy of my, I did get my latest statement from Discover Card. So there you go, that worked. And I grabbed my passport. They said, yeah, passport's good ID to have, that's good. So I took my passport. I took a whole life offer from my bank, and I took a Discover Card statement in, no birth certificate, no Social Security Administration card. I know I'm going to have an eye test. I've always had pretty good eyesight, but, you know, it's been 10 years. You never know. Maybe I'm going to need to get glasses or contacts before they'll renew my license. And I like to fly a lot. You need that, you know, current license that's, what, ID certified or whatever it is these days that makes it extra safe. So I'm kind of going in this morning at 8:45, made the appointment online, which was slick and easy. And I go in this morning going, dear Lord, help me get out of here before noon, you know. And I'm also thinking, well, what if I have, you know, a fine or an easy pass toll that hasn't been paid or who knows what you might have, right? What if I have something like that? Does that prevent me from renewing my license? It can prevent you from registering a vehicle. I know that. Can it prevent me from getting a new license? I don't know. Now, most people are smart enough. When you're going to go in and try to get a new license, you're going to look decent. So that picture is going to be used all over the place for 10 years when you show your license. I am not one of those people. I'm a junk removal guy. I get up in the morning, put on a baseball cap, and I walk out, right? Well, the appointment was all set. I take this different stuff with me. I'm kind of assuming hopefully there's enough here that shows the new address, gives them proof that I am who I say I am. I've got my passport with me. I go in. I only am waiting in the MVA for literally 3 minutes after I check in, and they call me over to, you know, booth number 8 where they're going to help me. This nice young lady was there to help me, and I'm going to say in maybe 11 minutes, maybe 12 minutes, maybe 9 minutes, I was done. They didn't ask me for my passport. They didn't ask me for a bank statement. I actually just answered a few questions on a screen. And then there was that moment of mild tension where she says, okay, put your eyes and put your face over here and just look into this, you know, thing. They're going to do the eye test. And so I did that. And I looked at the eye test. There's 4 levels of letters that they want you to read. They get increasingly smaller as you go from top to bottom. And she says, read the 4th row. There's 4 on the left side, there's 4 on the right side. And I went boom, 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 boom. Got them all right. She goes, okay. And then the lights flash on the right side for peripheral vision check. You know, she says, can you see the flashing lights on both sides? Yes, I could. Okay, what do you see now? I said, it's flashing on the right side only. Okay, what do you see now? It's flashing on the left side only. Okay, well, I passed the eye exam. Thank heavens. That was great. So that was easy. I answered a few more questions. You know, what is your political party? Are you a registered voter? Blah, 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 some other stuff. I did all of that. And then it says, we can issue your new driver's license. How fast do you want to receive it? Would you like to pay $18.57 for expedited shipping? And I went, yes, I do. And at that point, the lady looks at me, and a couple of times during the process, she has to call a manager over to get some kind of override or approval. And I'm going, man, I hope they accept the letter that verifies where I live. And I hope they, you know, will let me do this without my birth certificate and without my Social Security number and blah, blah, blah. I hope this all works. Well, manager number 1 came over and, you know, touched the computer a few times and boom, everything was good. Manager number 2 came over, touched the computer a few times, everything was good. I just sat there kind of with my fingers crossed, hoping that I wasn't going to be there for 45 minutes, you know, or 2 days or whatever it's going to be. Well, like I said, in about 11 or 12 minutes, my guess, 10 minutes maybe, I was all done. And they said, okay, that'll be $87, including the 18 bucks to expedite it. And it turns out that I'm going to have my new license. They took a photo of me. I took my baseball cap off and tried to make my hair look good, but I'm sure I wasn't successful.
They took a photo of me. I didn't care really what I look like. I just, go ahead, shoot it. That's fine. I just want to get this sucker. That's all I'm after. So they take a photo of me. I put the baseball cap back on. A few minutes later, everything is done. And she says, okay, you'll have it between 1 to 2 business days from now. And we're going to send it to you like by certified delivery. Someone's going to have to sign for it. I said, does it have to be me? No, just someone has to sign for it. I went, okay. I called the front desk of the place where I'm at now and said, hey, can you, I just alerted them to the fact that my new driver's license is going to come in the next day or two. I just need somebody to sign for it. They said, no problem. We'll do it. I walked out of there the happiest guy in Montgomery County, Maryland. I couldn't believe, and I would have bet money, that it would not have gone so smoothly. I have various vehicles. I get them sometimes from junk removal jobs. Sometimes I register them as historic vehicles. Sometimes I register them and drive them around as just regular vehicles. You know, it just depends. But in this case, by golly, I was in and out of there in 10 minutes. I renewed my driver's license. I didn't have to take a test. I just had to do the visual stuff. My eyesight is still good. I don't need glasses. I mean, it was a dream. It was a dream come true. And that's how I started my day. And I was so excited that I'm going to have my new driver's license. And it's good till 2036. I think it's another 10 years, which, keeps me on the road for a while. So anyway, very excited about that. That worked out. And what they said was, you won't have your new license for 1 to 2 business days, but we're going to give you this printout right here, which is good for 30 days. This is your new license. Keep it with you. Anybody has any questions? This is your information. I went, hallelujah. That works for me. So I was thrilled with that. It all worked out well. And that was the beginning of my day. And it's just been cruising ever since until I fell off the back of a truck about an hour ago. But I'm still alive. So that's good too. So anyway, there's the kind of day that I'm having in the junk removal business. I do want to tell you about something. If you're in the Washington, D.C. area, I mentioned that my birthday is next week. I will be 68. And for 3 or 4 years now, I do a special deal on my birthday, good only in the Washington, D.C. area. And I'll be announcing it tonight and tomorrow on the web and other places. You're able to buy a pickup truck of junk removal, normally $229. For $68, my birthday age. And we're going to make 68 of them available, first come, first served. If we sell all 68 of them, which we probably will, that will bring in about $4,600 on this special deal. And that's kind of got me pumped up to see how much we can bring in the next, couple of days doing this deal. They will be good through December 31st of this year. You pay for it in advance like you're doing a Groupon. And I keep track on a spreadsheet of who buys how many. And then off we go. And there you have it. So that's kind of my next little promotion that I'm doing. I do want to close with one other thought here. We've got like 5 minutes left. It looks like maybe only a couple minutes left. A couple of thoughts here. I did an estimate yesterday afternoon. Let's see, West Wind. I did an estimate Tuesday afternoon to clean out a home for some people. Again, referred to us by, this is Maggie Rawlings, Karen's daughter in Olney, Maryland with eXp Realty. And I met the lady from Baltimore who came down to her dad's house that we're cleaning out in a retirement community where you had to be 55 or older. So we're going to clean out that house. I gave her an estimate. She gets a discount because Karen's family referred her. Came out to about $3,000. Well, she goes home, talks to her brother, calls me or texts me late last night and goes, we're in, let's do this. How soon can you start? And I said, I could technically start today on Wednesday. She says, fine, I'll meet you at 10 o'clock. Well, at 10 o'clock, I get a check for $3,000 yesterday. Now, that's what you call not a bad day at work, right, for most of us. So I get the check, but then, and then we spend 2 hours starting to clean out this house. Then I have to take off to go to Upper Marlboro, Maryland, about 45 minutes away, to our church storehouse,
where we store food for people in our congregation who have fallen on hard times and need some help with groceries. Our bishops can fill out what we call a food order, and a guy like me goes down. We go to this facility that's owned by us, and it's got all the basic stuff that you could live off of, you know, from peanut butter to raspberry jam, fresh fruits and whatever. It's all right there. It's like a miniature grocery store. We have a bunch of these around the U.S. We filled out, me and one of my worker buddies came with me. We went down, and we each filled up a grocery cart full of food for two guys in our congregation who have fallen on some hard times. What stunned me was how much food they were getting. It is not my say. It is the bishop's decision and the individual's decision on how much they get. I just go down and pick it up. I was kind of stunned that we were getting so much food for each one of these guys. Now, the irony of it is, here I am getting a grocery cart full of food for somebody in need, and I'm the guy who, in the back of my pocket in my wallet right then, is sitting on a $3,000 check. Why in the world would I be concerned about how much food somebody else is getting? When I just got, 30 times that amount of goods and services in terms of dollars, I commented while I was down there. I thought, man, this is a lot of food. And we went out and we loaded it in our truck, two big grocery carts full of food. I couldn't put it in the front of the truck. We didn't have room. I put it in the back of the truck, and then it started to rain. Then I drive 20 minutes back into D.C. to do delivery number one, and 20 more minutes to do delivery number two. And the bottom line is, and I'm still kind of shocked over why we're giving so much food to people, right? Having completely forgotten that I just got a $3,000 check a few hours earlier. So the bottom line is, I got a text message from recipient number one and then a lengthy text message from recipient number two. The first message said, "Thank you so much for delivering the food. God bless." The second one was much longer and went on to compliment everybody that was involved, me for doing the delivery, et cetera. And the reason I volunteered to do this delivery is because in our church, we're all kind of assigned to look after somebody else. And one of these guys is one of the people I'm assigned to kind of make sure he's okay. So I thought, you know what? I should be the guy that does this. The bottom line is, instead of worrying about what's happening to somebody else, just look at your own life, count your blessings, and be grateful. Okay? Simple. And don't worry about what's going on with somebody else. Just step in to help out where you can and be grateful for what you have, and everybody wins. And when I looked at those two text messages, I went, who in the world cares how much food they got? They probably appreciate this food more than I appreciate the $3,000. Right? That's the lesson I learned yesterday. Anyway, I'll pass that along to you because this show is not only about how to get the junk out of your front room, but also how to get it out of your life. So there's a way to do it. Join us next week on the Junk Refund Show. Check out past episodes on the Junk Refund Show podcast, wherever you get your podcast. Thanks to Thomas, Thomas Newsom, who is Don's son, who helped out today as our producer. He always does a great job. And we'll see you next week on the Junk Refund Show, 3 o'clock Eastern on bbsradio.com. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Junk Refund Show, the longest-running junk removal radio show on the air. Join us next week as we discuss innovative ways to declutter your home, your business, and your life using 20 years of junk removal experience. Find out why we give out free ice cream gift cards to our clients, too. In upcoming shows, we will explore how to get the junk out of your relationships, your spiritual life, your waistline, even your travel life. Plus, call in with questions and situations you would like some help with. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we are committed to bringing the next generation of junk removal, because not all junk is junk. See you next week on the Junk Refund Show, every Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on BBS Radio TV.